This is
URN.
URN.
University.
Radio.
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 Nottingham.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Monday's Pulse. I'm Scarlett, and I'm here with Ali and Izzy. And just to explain the structure of today's Pulse, because it's slightly different, is that we're all going to be discussing the same core story. So Liz Truss's speech at the Tory Party conference, except we're going to be doing it from different newspapers. So we're going to start off with an article from the BBC written by Chris Mason titled Liz Truss's Speech and Showcase of Dysfunction and Division. So just to give you the first sort of couple of lines from it, he starts off by saying there was the content of the Prime Minister's speech and then the context of its delivery, and context is everything. This is a party that's been close to ripping itself to shreds for the last few days. It was a conference that was a showcase of dysfunction and division from the cabinet down, indiscipline within government, mutiny beyond it. So to give you an overview of what the rest of the article said, it firstly started talking about the disastrous U-turn that the government had to initiate over the 45p tax cut, which Chris Mason described as a crushing, humiliating, authority-sapping U-turn that left the Prime Minister weakened and vulnerable. He then went over to talk about the next issue that is facing the Conservative Party, which is their oncoming row over benefits, where Penny Mordaunt, according to Chris Mason, showed an indiscipline within government by saying that that benefits should rise with inflation. This goes against the principle of collective responsibility. He then finally, at the end, addressed what was actually in Liz Truss's speech, perhaps suggesting the lack of significance in contrast with what actually was going on at the conference. He described the speech as short and had no new policy ideas. I'm firstly going to come to Izzy to talk about this article, and what did she think of the speech itself? What's her opinion?
Well, you're completely correct there to say that there wasn't really any policy idea in there, because it was mostly just a load of slogans, really. We had growth, growth, growth. It was a lot of... And also odd anecdotes about pilot badges and things like that. There wasn't a whole lot of actual policy in there, but there was a whole lot of trying to set a tone, I think.
Yes, they're really trying to distinguish themselves from the previous three Tory governments we've had under three separate prime ministers, despite the fact that, it's the same party with the same ideas. And I personally feel like they're becoming quite negative in their approach. Maybe people could argue that they always have been, but they have used this new slogan called the Anti-Growth Coalition. Ali, what do you think of this slogan, and how well do we think it's going to play?
Well, there is a massive irony to the Anti-Growth Coalition slogan, that being that you mentioned in the article the use of the phrase growth, growth, growth that Liz Truss employed in her speech. If you go back to a summer speech from Keir Starmer, the leader of the opposition, I think would we agree in the room that Keir Starmer would probably be a part of Liz Truss's Anti-Growth Coalition?
Undeniably.
Everybody is part of Liz Truss's Anti-Growth Coalition if they don't agree with her.
But my point is that there is an irony that one of the leaders of the Anti-Growth Coalition used that very same phrase, growth times three, essentially, where there is nothing. The Tory party has, in my opinion, gutted all of its talented politicians and is left with the dregs. Or you have, as you mentioned earlier, people like Penny Mordaunt, who are politically astute customers and know how to work the system. And I think they see that the writing is on the wall even this soon into Liz Truss's reign as the Prime Minister of this country.
Well, it's interesting as well that she is basically critiquing her own party as part of that, and it's kind of saying all the people that are clipping my wings and preventing me from doing what I want to do is the reason, you know, that's who she's waging war against. But that's also her own party, in that, and you've had that revolving door of leaders as well. So it's a little bit like, could the Tory party be more divided? And that is in the headline itself there by the BBC. It's so clear. It's even in a... even from a publication, obviously it's an opinion piece, wherein it should be reasonably neutral, it's so evident that it's just coming through immediately that they're so very divided.
Yeah, I think the idea that this is not, you know, we're going to talk a bit about the style of the BBC and the way they do their opinion articles, they don't really give a lot away, but it's very, very clear from this, because it's clear to everyone, everybody in the country right now, how divided the Tory party is, possibly since the days of John Major. And so I think the next question that I'm going to throw out to Ali is about Chris Mason himself, who has recently become the BBC political editor. And do you think that his style of writing, he's had to control, he's had to change, looking at the content of this article and the style it's delivered in, do you feel like it's designed to give very little opinion, as the BBC are meant to?
Well, it's an interesting question. I've been quite impressed with Chris Mason thus far. However, in his relatively short time, when did he come in?
Earlier this year.
Yeah, so in the relatively short time that he's been in power's the wrong word, but as he's been the political editor of the BBC, he's not really been faced with many deeply divisive split issue moments of political unrest. We are at a time where the Conservative Party are polling at the lowest rates they have since about 1995, I think I'm correct in saying. It's pretty self-evident what is actually happening right now, what the kind of landscape is. Like, everybody knows that Liz Truss is on the rocks, and her ideas and her policies that have stemmed back from her ideology, and indeed the Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng and much of her front bench, has reaped this Britannia Unchained ideology that they've finally had the chance to test, and it's actually fallen flat on its face. So Chris Mason has been doing a good job. Obviously, there is some degree of opinion in his piece, but it's very difficult to argue the other side when it's such a clear cut and the vast majority of the country is experiencing this crisis and this problematic and in some ways just purely terrible government in their own in the same way.
If the BBC are serving the people as well, like, as you're saying, if they're serving the people don't support this party or this leadership, let's say.
Well, I think if we go back to the actual ideology that Liz Truss seems to employ, because that's what I find really fascinating, because everyone here agrees, and Izzy discussed it earlier, about how there is nothing new in this speech, no new policy ideas, but yet she's meant to be a prime minister based on this sort of libertarian ideology and bringing something new to the country. Well, in reality, she's been in government for over 10 years, and she just wants to employ, as you said, what was written in her book. So firstly, I'm going to ask Izzy what she thinks of Liz Truss's ideology and why it has somehow managed to employ no new policy ideas, despite being, in her words, very radical.
Well, it's particularly interesting given how much she's talking about wanting to be doing rather than thinking about things, and especially with her critique of protesters and naysayers and things like that. It's a bit like, if she's going to be, it's quite hypocritical to be harking on about pragmatism and being practical about things and doing rather than thinking, when actually what plans have you set out here to be doing in a speech lacking so much policy, and having given there's been U-turns as well of like going backwards, like it's really difficult to sort of, yeah, when there's not really nothing there but you're preaching about something that you're not doing.
And this is indicative in the form of the article, with the speech receiving maybe a couple of lines at the end, but really focusing on the division there. And I'd want to focus on some of these things that the Tory party have been divided over, namely this new issue that's emerging over benefits. So the government currently has an unclear position on whether benefits are going to rise with inflation. And Penny Mordaunt has got in trouble, according to some insiders noted in the article for indiscipline. What do we, firstly, Ali, what is your thoughts? Should benefits rise with inflation?
Well, I unequivocally yes, in my opinion, but that's more of a sort of, obviously it has very real world consequences, but it's a sort of policy idea. What's the mistake, and I think the reason that the government are so unclear on it at the in the moment, is a political error from Liz Truss, in that she's made the mistake. It's a tale as old as time in UK politics. The doctrine of big beasts, essentially, where you have the big names in the party, the people who ran against you in leadership debates, and you put them in your cabinet so you can keep them relatively in line above all. Obviously, Liz Truss did that with Penny Mordaunt, who clearly is seeing for her own political career that isn't even necessarily relevant. But the biggest reason that this has become such a big story is because I believe both Michael Gove and Grant Shapps, who you could argue, they're both former front benchers, both prominent in the...
Yes, they are two of the most significant cabinet ministers of the last decade.
Exactly, agreed. Michael Gove in particular. But they have both spoken out against how benefits should rise in line with inflation. And the fact that they probably loom larger in the Conservative Party than both Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng, it's a very difficult... It overshadows them and therefore blows this up into yet another scandal in what is an alarmingly consistent rate in what is now, what, 1 or 2 months of government now?
I mean, it's been shocking. Ever since I started paying attention to politics since Brexit, it's just been one thing after another. And, like, what's happened in this country, the changing of prime ministers... is extremely unusual, and that's why I think it's so fascinating.
But even so, it feels like it's accelerated in the last few weeks, because there's this difference between Boris Johnson, who had the sort of personal integrity scandals, because he was sort of inactive, slightly lazy as a prime minister and performing prime ministerial duties.
He was a liar. That was his biggest issue.
Exactly. But he wasn't... But while there were criticisms of the policies that he was enacting, because...
He enacted policies. He at least had some ideas.
I actually disagree. I think Liz Truss and Kwasi Kwarteng have much clearer ideas than Boris Johnson ever did. I think Boris Johnson's only ever idea was get Boris Johnson into power, but they actually do have ideas and they do have a doctrine, and it's been laid out in this book that we've mentioned 5 or 6 times now, Britannia Unchained. And the fact that they are trying to enact them and failing so spectacularly, I think, is probably one of the most key reasons why there's been so much scandal at the moment.
I am no great defender of Boris Johnson, and it is true he would say or do anything to get himself into power and preserve his own power. But on his whole facade around environment was very important, because there was legislation enacted to protect the environment. Liz Truss wants to accelerate fracking. She wants to get rid of the green belt. She wants to create untold damage to this country. And it just seems like with every prime minister we get, they just seem to want to be tearing up the country, destroying lives, and destroying our futures, plainly.
This
is URN.
URN.
University.
Radio.
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 Nottingham. Yeah.